It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh,
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Wow! What more can you say after a finish like that? That is why we do the Celtics postgame show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you miss that game, I feel sorry for you. You will not get the same feeling from watching that one again on replay, watching the highlights, whatever highlights are left on TV. That one took years off your life. Good Lord. 76ers inches from going back to Philadelphia with this series at 3-2. And the Celtics rip it right back out of their hands. They had worked a four-point lead into the final minutes of this game. And Marcus freaking Smart comes alive and makes every play imaginable. Stonewall Dario Saric in the paint. Followed a Jason Tatum miss at the rim following Horford's steal on Saric into the final seconds of the game that tied this at 109. Smart followed Tatum right to the rim, took the miss and floated it right up and in. And then before this game ends, 2 seconds left, Smart missed a free throw. He split a pair at the line. J.J. Redick had just hit a ridiculous three with three or two seconds left. And, whoa, Simmons heaves it down the court. Sixers are trying to get off a prayer. Not much time left. I don't know why Simmons was quarterbacking it down the court, but whatever. Smart jumps it back in coverage, heaves it right into the crowd, and we are going to see the Cavaliers and Celtics right back where we saw them last May, almost a year ago. These two teams met up, look completely different. These two teams flipped Kyrie Irving. He's not going to see the floor in this series. And somehow the Celtics have battled all the way back to the Eastern Conference Finals without him, without Gordon Hayward, without Daniel Tice, without Marcus Smart for the early portion of this postseason run. Shane Larkin went down in game four. Say what you want about Shane Larkin. He was an important part of Brad Stevens' rotation. And the Celtics just get it done again and again and again. What a brilliant job Brad Stevens and this squad have done. And they have a very real chance of going to the NBA Finals 10 years after they won in 2008. I'm declaring it right there. That's my opening statement. They have a chance to beat the Cavaliers. The way they're playing, the way Rozier is rolling. Jaylen Brown is back, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight was one of the most amazing performances of his career, and they needed every single point of it. 24 on 10 to 13 shooting. You know, Marcus Morris is missing in action, but it doesn't matter. Al Horford's making plays into the fourth quarter. 5 steals, a plus-8 effort from him. He didn't have the hottest start from the field, but he finished so strong on that Jason Tatum alley-oop. Have you ever seen Horford dunk harder than that? I don't think so. So I'm Bobby Manning. We have so much to digest tonight. So we're going all night long. As long as you're here, I'm here. We have CLNS Media at the Garden. Snotty Drippins by my side. I see the call lines flooded. This team's back in the East Conference Finals, everybody. It's time to party. You should feel good about this team going into this series. And how about that stop on Joel Embiid up to right after Smart or Tatum finished from Smart. That was another play I didn't even mention in Smart's series of playmaking down the stretch. That dish to Tatum underneath while the Sixers were falling asleep on the back door. Tatum missed the game-tying layup that Smart ultimately finished, but Tatum ultimately wins this game on that little layup inside. Celtics packed the paint on Embiid, and they needed every single point to steal this one with Saric pouring 27 behind 3 threes, perfect shooting outside. 27 from Embiid as he got it together into the second half. 4 blocks, 4 assists from him. The Sixers gave it all they had tonight, guys. This is not the last we're going to see of the 76ers, but it will be the last we see of them this year. However underwhelming they were to start this series, they gave it their all into the closing minutes of this one. And it took the Celtics everything they had, but it says so much about this team, so much about where they're going. And forget next year. We keep talking about next year with what Irving's going to bring, Hayward's going to bring. Let's start thinking about this year. they have a chance against this Cavs team. The defensive gap between these two teams is so massive. I know the LeBron factor is going to play a massive role in this one, and who knows, maybe it just gives the Cavaliers the inches they need to slip by the Celtics in 6 or 7. I'm not picking a winner tonight. Maybe I will in the final minutes once the emotion rolls down here, but that's what I got on this one. Let's hear what you got. 347-215-7771. I want to hear from everybody, from Mass to L.A., everywhere in between. The Celtics are back in the East Finals. They're one of the final four in the NBA, and no team had the injury lack of luck that they had this year. So let's get into it. I'm looking for Snotty Drippin' on the line here. I hope I can find him. I don't remember his phone number. So first person I guess we're going to talk to tonight is Nick Sesento. Nick, what more can you say besides this friggin' team? What more could you ask from them? This is one of the most. Think of what we were saying this time last year as they slipped by the Wizards in 7. That was one of the most amazing things I had seen in sports in my life, the way Isaiah was going off in that series, the way they were getting by that team. But this is so much more incredible, unimaginable. This defense is so legit. This team is so legit, top to bottom. They're getting so much out of everybody. It's unimaginable what they have already accomplished and still have the chance to accomplish this year.
Well, isn't it amazing that a guy that wasn't even considered for the entire season to be in the Rookie of the Year hunt is now the last rookie standing of all those rookies, Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons. I almost forgot his name already because he was just almost irrelevant in this series. I mean, those shots that he hit tonight were literally circus shots on multiple travels and on multiple things. And who's the last rookie standing? And isn't it funny, Coach, who had so much turnover, two of his all-stars go down. Marcus Smart missed time. Marcus Morris missed time. Al Horford missed time with the concussion like he did the season before. I think Jaylen Brown missed time with the concussion. Now Shane Larkin goes out. A coach that doesn't even get a single vote for Coach of the Year comes in here and out-coaches the media darling Philadelphia 76ers and gives them, I guess it's not called the gentleman sweep because it wasn't, you know, the backdoor sweep or whatever. But, yeah, gentleman sweep. They let them get one game and then beat them. I wasn't worried for more than 30 seconds in this game because I knew that as it came down the stretch, and they said this, the TNT announcer, I think it was Charles Barkley or Kenny Smith. I tend to think Kenny Smith is the smartest one out of all of them. But, you know, saying the tightness of this game is going to come down to the Philadelphia 76ers having to make, you know, tough decisions late in the game. And how many times have we seen it in the series? It seems like it's a broken record. That, you know, that game where the Celtics came back from down 22 came down to a steal. How many games have come down to steals, and there were steals and critical turnovers on late possessions, very late possessions, like critical crunch time possessions, within a minute possessions, and the Boston Celtics came up with them again. Al Horford with the steal in crunch time again. So, I mean, I just had a feeling today. So, you know, on game days, I go out and I shoot hoops and I do my own thing. I have like my own little OCD kind of superstition thing, and I went through my whole little process, and I just had a good feeling about today. I didn't think the Boston Celtics were going to let this become a series again because I think had the Philadelphia 76ers made this a series, or had won this game, it would have been a series again. With that said, I mean, I know you guys are going to break this game down a whole lot. Hopefully maybe you can get to your callers and bring me back in later. But I just had a couple of questions for Snotty because I believe it was Snotty who was
hosting. Well, we have to find Snotty here in the caller log. He's actually not with us yet, but you weren't nervous. I was so freaking nervous in those final minutes there. When J.J. Redick knocked down that three, this looked like the danger zone. And Dario Saric was hitting some silly shots tonight. And Embiid, credit him, after he got in a little shoving match with Baines there, whatever that was, he settled down and started knocking down shots through people on the inside. But you know what, Nick? The strategy of this series and where Stevens wanted is that Embiid was going to get his. He was going to jam the middle as much as he wanted. keep the ball rock in his hands, stall the ball movement, and just completely slow down the Sixers' offense. They left so many threes on the series on this table. They had the shooters to keep up with Boston offensively, and Embiid just wanted to make it his show down the middle there, and he did it again tonight, and he got his numbers, but he also picked up another L. And I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I saw the Celtics winning this series. I had the 76ers in this, and I was so completely wrong about them. And I think if you want to call the Sixers overrated and question their future as a contender in the East, blame you, because a lot of their flaws, a lot of the issues that come with being a front court loaded team and how young they are showed in this series. And Stevens was able to coach circles around Brett Brown. His one little adjustment stole them a game in game four, but proved futile down the stretch here in game five. And Stevens only lost more in the series. So we're going to look for Snotty in the call logs there. I believe this is him right here at 619. So we're going to pull him in here. Is this Snotty on the line with us?
You damn right it's Snotty on the line with you.
All right. Take it away. How are you feeling right now?
So I've been the Zen fan all season where I kept saying, this is all gravy. And even this series, it was such a pleasant surprise to be up, to get up 3-0, you know, that of course you don't want to lose a 3-0 lead and lose the series. But, yeah, my heart was in my throat for the second half of this game. Thrilling basketball. You tip your hat to Philly. They're not supposed to be here yet, right? This is year one of phase two of the process, right? In fact, phase two is still going on. They're still doing the talent acquisition part. So they're not supposed to be here. So tip your hat to Philly. Now, being said, everyone thought they had the best two players coming into this best two players of the series, and that was not correct. Tatum was by far better than Ben Simmons, and Tatum was probably better than Embiid. And Embiid, as great as he is, he was played to a standstill by Al Horford. The stats don't show it. Statistically, it looks, if you looked at the stat sheet in 3 years, somebody never watched basketball and said, oh, wow, that guy was dominating his other guy. But no matter what anybody says, we saw when the rubber met the road and crunch time came, Al Horford came up big and Embiid came up small. So tip your hat to the Celtics. They're heading to the East Conference Finals. Jaylen Brown looks like the hamstring injury is behind him. He was brilliant tonight. Three game balls. Give one to Jaylen Brown. He had 24 tonight, and he hit some real big shots. And he was like, he kept the offensive float in the third. Tatum was awesome all game, especially in the first half. And Al slammed the door late. I think Al had like five steals this game. What is this incredible game, man? What an incredible game.
It felt like a borderline classic between these two. And if this is the start of something great between these two teams, this is how you get it going. It wasn't the series everyone predicted, 6-7 games. I thought this was going 7, Philly taking it in 7. And they, you know, Philly and Boston both proved me wrong on both sides. Philly's not ready for this yet. They were way too young for this series. So many mistakes. So many turnovers in this one, too. How many times did they just get stripped going into the half court? And vital plays like that down the stretch cost them this game. They had worked a nice little lead into the final 2-3 minutes. And possession by possession, Boston outworked. Brilliant stop to close the game. And Redick ultimately came back and almost made it one again, as I said in the opener. But the way they jammed Embiid inside on that last play was unimaginable, because he got the ball back and had another chance to get it up. And Baines and Horford were just all over him, as they were all series. You know, he was able to get his double-doubles. He was able to stuff the stat box. As you said, no one is going to look at this and say he was shut down, but he wasn't going into the 30s and 40s like he could have the way he was attacking. The ball was in his hands again and again. And I before you came in here, I argued that was good for Boston. You know, it gave him the numbers, it made him look good, but it was not winning basketball by Philadelphia in this one. And that difference in ball movement between these two teams ultimately played out in the 4-1 finish.
Yeah, and this is what we're seeing from Embiid, right? This series was great for him and Ben Simmons, because Brad Stevens exposed all of their flaws. I, you know, laid them open for the world to see. So now they have game film to know what they need to work on. For Embiid, sure, if you're taking 2, 3, 4 dribbles to back your guy down, you can score probably, you know, maybe 3 out of every 7 times, it looks like, you know, because Al Horford was outstanding defensively. There are people who were surprised that Al Horford defended him as well, and I'm like, he was an all, you know, he was in the running for defensive player of the year all season. That's how good he was, the best defensive player on the best defensive team in the NBA. So what do you got to question? But back to Embiid, yeah, he's big and he's strong. He's super talented. He just has no idea how to leverage that talent yet, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just taking the hammer approach. I'm going to your chest, going to your chest. And yeah, he hit some nice mid-range shots, but Boston will give him that mid-range all day. Boston will take him, you know, back and down for 8 seconds all day because he scores too. But as you saw, the offense stagnated. Like, he's not getting other guys open. There's no off-ball action to feed off of. They're not sending – like, he's not drawing doubles and then, you know, getting guys open because of his – so that's – Boston didn't care. They didn't care. Tonight was his best game of the series, I think, efficiency-wise, because I think before this game he was shooting like 40% from the floor, maybe 37% from the floor. So he wasn't shooting well at all, and that's all because Boston was content to let him shoot. He turned the ball over 4 more times. He turns the ball over a lot in the post, so he'll give you 2 or 3 good post-ups, and they'll turn it over and kill all his momentum. For Ben Simmons, like, the play I remember most was, I think they ended up with a shot clock violation. They were kind of just running the set was all out of control. It was a broken play. And he ended up getting the ball on the baseline, 12, 15 feet away from the basket. And the defender obviously knew. Like, this is what I love about Boston. They're so disciplined. They never closed out on him. Whenever he got the ball more than, you know, 8 feet from the basket, they just sat and watched him. And that's just that shows great coaching and great attention to detail. So what does he do instead of taking the right wide open 12-footer? He drives baseline right to the teeth of the defense and he ends up turning it over. So, I mean, they just have so much to work on. Their decision-making. Ben Simmons doesn't seem like he realizes he's 6'10 sometimes with those bad layups and runners. If he just comes under control, he's dunking on everybody. So both
he
of
was
guys so
really cool. Absent in this series from a scoring perspective, and it's amazing how he dropped from those 20-point games he was dropping left and right in the regular season to just – I had never seen anything like that one-point duck he threw up in game 2, I think it was, where he just hit the free throw and nothing else. That, I mean, I know he's a rookie. I know this is supposedly a rookie if we want to get into that argument. I know he's the first year in the league. Yeah, I know you don't like that one. I've never seen – I mean, we know he's a great player. We know he has a great future ahead of him in this. And this is his first run at playoff basketball, so anyone's going to be thrown into the fire. But I've never seen a player of that caliber who put up numbers like that in the regular season get – just shut out of a game. Like, think of LeBron. We've seen him score 7 in the postseason, and that seemed like a miracle. 1 point to me blew my mind. And that was the style of basketball he was playing throughout the series. It looked like he just wanted nothing to do with getting into the lane up until this last game where he was finishing some tough layups. But the 18 he dropped in this one before they were sent packing was just far too late for them. They needed so much more from him in this series.
Well, and I think – all right, I'm gonna not even devil's advocate because I believe what I'm saying here, and I'm not just being contrary. No, I'm not being contrary. So, like, this, we knew coming into the league, this is what he was, right? So,
yep.
It's almost like Lonzo. People keep, you know, they want Lonzo to hit open threes like he did in college and play make. And, you know, if he scores 13 to 16 points a game, that's what they expect of him. I think with Ben Simmons, you got to kind of be the same way. We knew he couldn't shoot coming in. His job, sure, as a primary offensive player, you got to be able to score. And, like, no matter what, you got to take those shots. The fact that Al Horford was playing him, you know, he's on top of the key, and Al Horford's, like, in the middle of the lane, you know, at the dotted line almost, just with his arms out, like, what are you going to do? And he's just not even looking to shoot. That's unacceptable. I don't care. And I think the coaches and staff have to get across to him, too. You have to develop a set shot where if they're going to leave you open for 5 seconds, you can sit there, get your feet together, and just calmly take this shot like a layup, you know.
And they're so stupid on the sideline. I don't want to get into Brett Brown too much because he did great things with them this season. But they run one ball handler at a time, or at least they did up until game 4. They would never combine McConnell with Simmons out there and just have different outlets of passing. It's Simmons on the ball all the time, doing everything. And just like you say right there, if you're going to have this guy – controlling all the ball time, he just cannot be floating around, no threat to shoot whatsoever. You see play after play that they run, he just runs aimlessly into the paint and dumps it out somewhere. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'd have some concerns about him going forward with that. If they're going to continue to run this system the way they do right now, it's troublesome. There's not a lot of ball movement, despite how great of a passer he is.
Yeah, and somebody was making a really good point on Twitter that even when McConnell was in the game, they had Simmons with the ball in his hands. And that's because McConnell can't shoot either, but, you know, he makes things happen off the dribble. And
yep.
Simmons at 6'10 can play off the ball. They find him cutting for dunks. You know, he does that. He seals his man. They can lob over the top to him. So it makes more sense when McConnell's in the game, let McConnell run the offense. And Simmons, you use your size and, you know, set screens and look for alley-oops. But no, so in a way, I can almost – it's almost like when they put Simmons back in the game three, when they had a late lead and they took McConnell out, put Simmons in, and then they promptly lost the game. So it's almost like that, where I think Brett Brown is trying to just force-feed his two young stars minutes and situations. But, this coming into tonight, it could have easily been 3-1 in Philly's favor, you know. But Boston consistently made all the right plays when they had to, and Philly consistently made the wrong plays when they had to. And that's all. It's coaching, and I'm not even going to say youth and inexperience, because Boston's just as inexperienced. So it's all – I think that's mainly a coaching thing.
Three amazing things that stick out about this series to me as it ends. Baines was such a heavy minus net rating, and that blows my mind because he looks so good out there. That's that stats eye test differential thrown right in your face in this one. He had an amazing game tonight through the middle section of it. He, again and again, you saw how uncomfortable he just visually seemed to make Embiid look with how much beef he was throwing at him in the post. And the threes got a little out of hand for some of the series. The six shots he took in game four were a little much, but I'd give him major credit for the outcome of the series. He proved his worth on that mid-level exception this year, and it stinks, but I don't think Boston's going to be able to keep him. I think he's outplayed his salary. I think he's going to get a big deal somewhere else.
I'm going to say this. There's no other team with big money. No team
True.
Has big money.
True.
It's almost
always a consideration, yeah.
It's a salary desert that he might see something really special going on in Boston next year, and he might give them even a hometown discount to stay because, I mean, I think he made pretty good money in his last deal with San Antonio with the Pistons.
Yep.
I think $7-8 million a year, whatever. So, I mean, sure, there's absolutely a chance. But it's also, you know, look, it's almost like I don't want to compare Boston to the Spurs. They haven't been doing it as long, obviously. But there's a certain – cultural worth where guys are willing to sacrifice to try to come and be a part of something. And, you know, right now I feel like Baines is really part of something. And
he is a big part of it. Yep, absolutely. And shows again.
Right, real quick, I'm looking at Baines was negative. He was like, you know, he's minus six tonight. And Al Horford was plus eight. But my thing is when you look at Baines and Horford together every game, and I've been looking at this, I haven't done the numbers yet, but I'm almost positive. Maybe one game it wasn't like this, but every game, Al Horford and Baines together at center outplayed Embiid, which,
yep.
You know, Embiid's one player, there's two, and you think, oh, they should. But the point is they matched his production, and for them to be able to match, you know, a beast like Embiid's production every night and kind of negate him, that was huge.
Coming into this game, Terry Rozier in the postseason was a 6-assist-to-1 turnover ratio. 6.1 to 1.3. Tonight, he comes out, and let me check the numbers here on how he was in that capacity tonight.
Yeah,
two
turnovers.
So stuck the average, kept it going, 6-1 for the postseason. That's phenomenal. I mean, this team, they have limited turnovers immensely while losing so much ball handling, and that has been incredible. Despite all that, that's what's going to stick out to people about Rozier's postseason run. He has kept that ball in good hands. And I know he has teammates who can handle it too. He's got a lot of help around him, but that's what a great team's all about, and he has stepped up in that capacity. He's manning about 7 minutes a game on the ball too, and I know he's making quick moves and such, but that doesn't happen last year, and that shows the major strides he has made. He has been central to this run. And then on top of that, got to say, Marcus Morris didn't do a single thing in this series.
He was an absolute atrocity tonight.
Oh,
my crap
Lord.
Team.
And that just makes it all the more amazing. They got nothing, absolutely nothing out of Morris. I think he had a nice 5-6 minute stretch to close one of the games. But besides that,
yeah,
again tonight,
he
was foul.
I'll say this. He wasn't really good most of the series. He was kind of like his regular self, where he'd be bad for a stretch, and he'd have a nice little hot stretch or do a couple nice things. Tonight, he was just flat-out bad. I get that Stevens wants to maintain his rotations and show confidence in his guys, but, yeah, he could have sat. I was hoping he sat him down, like, for the whole fourth because he was that bad. He was that bad.
He's down below 35% from the field in this series, or at least from two-point range is what I heard someone throw out there. With a terrible night tonight, they got almost nothing from him, and they still won the series going away. So that's another thing you got to consider as the Celtics march back to the East Finals. Wow, I'm looking at the phone lines. I've never seen anything like this. We have 10 callers in the dock. This is unimaginable. So this is going to test my host skills tonight. We're going to jam in callers,
I'm saying this. Hey, all the callers, listen. We're going to give you, like, how long are we going to give them?
You got 2 minutes tonight. We got a half hour live on the air, and we want to get as many people in as possible. So, you know, get your excitement out, Cleveland prediction out there.
Hey, I'm gonna start the timer. You're going to give them, a minute, minute and a half? What do you want to give them?
We're doing two. We'll do two. I think we got enough for that.
You're too much of a nice guy.
I'm a nice host. I always have been. I got to show these guys love for showing out every night. But luckily, Snotty's not in the host. Just know I'm being gracious. If Snotty was in the host chair, as he has been, he's giving you one. I'm giving you two.
I'd give you 45 right. seconds. Save your game, save your side, and I hung up on you 45. So I got the top watch. Go ahead and get the first one.
All right, 7-4-0. Celtics are on to the East Finals. Who we got?
This is Miley from Ohio. What's up, guys?
Miley,
what up, Marty?
Take us home.
With the win tonight, that was pretty exciting, and I don't know if you guys have a prediction for the next series, but I'm gonna say Celtics and six.
Wow! All right.
Good thing. I mean, good thinking, Miley, because that was what I was gonna get to next.
I'm going to abstain from giving a prediction. I'm just going to bask in the win right now. You won't like my prediction.
I'm not asking for a prediction. I'm just saying, could they win this series?
I mean, I could happen to bump into Beyonce and somehow she's worried about my charm and I could get a date. You know, it could. It's not like science fiction. It happens. You know, one chance out of a million, and I'm gonna give ourselves a better chance, like better odds than that, but not much, man. There's just no one to guard LeBron, and I said that against the Raptors. I said, no, maybe, and then you see it in action, and again, there's no one to guard LeBron, and he just causes so many. He puts the team in the rotation, he draws doubles, and he is not gonna be like Embiid and miss cutters. He's not gonna miss open teammates. And you know what? And I'm not putting him on a pedestal. He's human. He can be beat. We know it. It's just, we'll see. We'll see if Celtics have the personnel.
Thanks, Smiley. Great topic. We need to hit on that early, and I'm glad you brought that into the fold here. We're going to get to some other callers in just a second, but I think they could do this. You know, I have not been one of those guys who's saying, you know, LeBron's got nothing around. Like, I think people are being just straight up clowns about that. They have a skit on SNL about the other Cavs. And remember 2008 or 2010?
Okay.
What was around him
now,
then?
Man, Bobby, coming into the Raptors series, and I think up until game two of the Raptors series, LeBron was averaging almost 30, and like the next highest was Kevin Love at like 12 points a game. So they had a point. No one else was producing in the playoffs. Or, sorry, that guy might have been like Kyle Korver at like 14 a game, and then Love was at like 11 for like the first maybe 8 or 9 games of the playoffs. So there was a legitimate point there.
I'm just saying the names, the impact. You have an all-star in Kevin Love still. We know what Kevin Love's made of, and he got back to that in that Raptors series. George Hill, you got a champion there. We know what he's made of. Smith, it's not even close to those Ilgauskas, Mo Williams, Shaquille O'Neal teams back in the day. That was when LeBron was hoisting a backpack and just hiking his team to the finals or the East Finals, wherever they were going back then. Those are some of the worst teams I've ever seen make deep postseason runs. And this is nothing even close.
Of course, man. I think you're thinking about the question, what they were saying, all wrong. Because the point was, early in the playoffs, no one else was stepping up. They were playing like there was no one else on the team.
Yeah.
So LeBron James, good on him for trusting his teammates. He said it himself. He's like, I don't care about what people are saying. I want to show my guys I trusted him. And it all came out for the best because the Raptors folded and his team was up on him. So, no.
Tweet out here, going to try to get some more callers on board. I know Isaiah in New Jersey's on the line, so let's get him in here. Philly, Cleveland, you can go in either direction, Isaiah. It's good to – ooh, I think we just dropped him, actually. So, Isaiah, if you're still listening, get back in here. We'll get you right on board. 857 is with us. Who we got here at 857?
If you're listening, you just listening, homie? You're probably just listening.
Seems like it. 516. Only been waiting 7 minutes. Lucky you. Who we got here?
If you're just calling to listen.
Cavaliers will win in 4. LeBron.
516.
You don't hear him? He's whispering something to us.
It's a little too quiet, I guess.
Yeah, he was saying to them. What's up? All right, man.
Hello?
Well, there you go. Next caller.
All right. So I guess we can just chat for a few more minutes while we reload the board here. I don't know what just happened. We lost a lot of those callers. I must have dropped or something. But, yeah, let's
– So let me ask you, MVP of the series for the Celtics.
It is Al Horford, without a doubt in my mind. The way he elevated his game back to all-star status. People forgot. I wrote this earlier in the series. Remember when – Embiid was the starter in the All-Star game, and they were picking the teams, and everyone was laughing about how Horford was going to be the last pick and just laughing at the idea of Horford being in an All-Star game. And it was legit. You know, he doesn't belong in that kind of atmosphere. But think of the difference between the All-Star game climate, the playoff climate, and you see the difference between Embiid and Horford. And this year only, if you had to pick between one of those two to have on your postseason team, not many are going to pick Horford, but this series might have proved that that would be the right choice for the postseason run this year. Horford was just amazing in all capacities. I still think he's turning over the ball way more than he used to, which is tough because that's something he never used to do before. Had another one tonight, so it wasn't a bad night for him there. But overall, he's been doing that a little bit too much for me. But everywhere you need him to step up in, whether it's rebounding, scoring inside, tough makes early in this game through contact, taking guys one-on-one, bringing the ball up the floor, shooting efficiently. He does it all for this team, no matter what they need, what role they need him to step into. It's all there. I think he's the heart and soul of this defense. Marcus Smart's right up there with him, but the way he mans that interior with his height, length, means a lot more of them this year than what Marcus Smart has meant. He just showed his worth again in this, just like he did against Milwaukee. Now, here we go again. We're going to hear from Justin Rowan. We're going to hear from all those Cavs guys. He can't do it against the Cavs. Let's see it. Let's see. I think this is the year he could change the perception on that front, and that's going
to
make or break that series.
No, it won't really. I'll say this, though. Aaron Baines makes a difference because Tristan Thompson – kind of kills Al Horford on both ends with his energy and his physicality. I think Aaron Baines will make the difference. So that's going to, it's going to be, because, hey, Al was playing center and Millsap was playing power forward. So Al was matching with Tristan Thompson. Now it can be Baines taking those lumps. So, yeah. And here's the thing. Al can guard Kevin Love. I don't think Kevin Love can guard Al. You know, so this will be interesting to see. But my MVP, I got to go with the young boy, Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, another 20-point game. I think this is, what, his seventh in a row. Every game this series, he scored 20. He was the go-to guy late in games. Tonight, not really tonight so much, but still, he had clutch free throws. He showed that no one in Philly could guard him. Tonight, he let him off the hook a little bit tonight. And he had 20-something points on 15 shots. He just wasn't super aggressive tonight, like towards the end. And, I think, his legs might have got a little heavy. And Embiid had the adrenaline going. Embiid guarded him on a couple ISOs late that, I think normally that wouldn't happen. But overall, he was just incredible. Jalen missed games one and two. or like, you know, parts against or whatever. Jalen wasn't himself until this game in this series. Al was awesome, but, you know, Al's not just, he's just not going to give you maybe 30, almost 25, 30 a night. It's not. He had a couple of big games in series. Tatum was the rock offensively for this team. You know, even our boy Rozier went in and out. And tonight he had a decent game. He still didn't shoot the ball well. But Tatum, every night, he brought it. So, to me, he's the MVP. And his, you can say to one, he had some bad fouls. But, you know, he uses his long arms. He plays good defense. You know, they him, a combination of him, Smart, even Shane Larkin, Rozier, they basically erased the three-point attack of the Sixers. The Sixers bombed away against the Heat. They didn't let it happen. Boston's preferring plays didn't let it happen, so Tatum was a big part of that too. So, yeah, even though – see, here's – I was going to ask my next award, defensive player of the series. I'm going to give it to Al. So, Al's still winning an award for me. Al, hey.
His trophy case is filling up.
Yeah, he made Embiid go complain to the – you know, complain at a press conference about how did you go the whole game without fouling me? Because the guy's an amazing defense. He's an amazing defender. He blocked Embiid's jump shots. He blocked jump hooks. He cracked Ben Simmons to the rim once and blocked him. He was, you know, and he's such a just underrated everything he does because he's always just in the right place. He's backing his guys up. He won't get a lot of blocks, but he's changing shots, you know. And then, you know, so you gave him the MVP for this, you know, he did everything. And so I give that to Tatum. I give Al my defensive player of the series. Who's your defensive player of the series? And you're probably going to give Al another award here.
It's Al, without a doubt. But Smart, we haven't even hit on Smart again tonight, and he was a big part of it as well. The way he just completely stonewalled Sarge down the stretch there as he was continuing to go off was a real momentum moment in this game for me because Sarge was unstoppable for the later stretch of this game. He was knocking down threes. He was jamming his way in the middle. He scored as many points as Embiid, as flashy as Embiid looked in this one. And Smart just stepped right up on him in the lane, shut him down, lost the ball, and ended up in Horford's hand, and that was that for the game. Smart was right up there with him in this series. And once again, the net rating loves Smart. It's just so interesting how it works. Plus 10 in this game, no one had a better net rating than Marcus Smart. You could definitively call this the Marcus Smart game. Even though he only hit 3 shots, 14 points, he was doing everything down the stretch, and he just continues to. And another credit to Danny Ainge in building this team that Stevens has done so much with. It's like 1 and 1A for this team's success this year, those two. There's never a weak link on the court defensively. If we're throwing it back to a year ago, comparing that run to now, they were running, you know, Jay Crowder at the four. It was like 5'9", the 6'6", 1-4. Now everybody's switching every single play. Anyone can defend anyone on the court. There's never a mismatch. Even when Shane Larkin was out there at his size, he was digging into guys with some defensive posture. And it's too bad they're not going to be able to bring him into this next series, it looks like. But from Semi to Smart, Morris, all the above, this series, a definitive mismatch was how Philly could never get a mismatch on Boston, and even in the first, second quarter of this game, Boston was going after Bellinelli, J.J. Redick, those guys, and just taking advantage of them.
So, hold on. Philly got a couple. They ended up with a switch. They got Dario guarding, or they had Terry Rozier. They got Terry Rozier guarding either Ben Simmons or Dario.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Philly's, this is why I question – I know Brett Brown's a good coach, but, like, that was a thing. When Terry Rozier's on the floor – forced the mismatch, and they couldn't do it. And I guess we're going to credit Boston for that because you know how they didn't force a mismatch? Because all the Celtics guys were fighting over the screens, and they weren't switching a lot of that stuff. They didn't have to switch the action. They didn't switch it. So, but you made it, the good point is made, though, that Boston just exploited every single switch, every single mismatch, and Philly didn't do the same.
Celtics postgame is live until midnight tonight. I can't believe this game. It was one of the best of the postseason so far, and we've seen some good ones from the Celtics so far. That game was in doubt until those last few minutes there, and they once again, I said it, I didn't think they were going to win this game. I could have spot down in this team, I guess, but they needed to execute to the same degree that they did in Game 3 with how, you know, Philly's just getting into them in the middle there, attacking them, getting to their defense. And there were periods where Boston's defense was compromised in this one. But 1-2 minutes to go, the execution's perfect on both ends of the floor. They're tightening up defensively. They're getting the right passes to the right places on offense. They're moving quick. They're making quick decisions on the fly. You know they're ready for these big moments. And I didn't think they could match the playmaking that they made on the road in that game three, the way they just ripped that game out of Philadelphia's hands. And that really changed the series. If they don't get that one, this series is probably going 6-7 games instead. We're running on to Cleveland. But they matched that here down the stretch. So many huge stops, big buckets. Tatum getting inside free on that back door to win it was sensational, and Smart caught him right away before the defense could react. It's just, you know, it shows a team that's been here before with its vital parts, Roger, Smart. There's only been a few guys left from last year's team, but they're part of the execution down the stretch late in these games, and Philly just doesn't have the same matching effort back there. You know, J.J. Redick's been in some big games. The Hughes in and out of this game for the most part, had a few big shots, but not too much beyond that. Everybody else, this is their first rodeo, and it shows the inexperience, the home court. All that stuff mattered so much in this one, and Boston's heading back to the East Finals. We're taking your calls at 347-215-7771. Here's the deal. We have 12 minutes left on the timer. We're going to keep rolling past midnight. But you got to get on the phone lines before midnight if you want to be on here talking to us. We got a number one slot open right now if you want to hop in it. 347-215-7771.
Oh, you got a caller on? Oh, you're
just throwing out there again.
So here's one of my pet peeves. I saw somebody saying it swings too far both ways. One time it's acting like Boston had trash, right? It's true. They're like, oh, with no Kyrie, no Gordon Hayward, Brad Stevens definitely coach of the year because look what he's leading. Well, they're a bunch of really good players, right? They're still good players. A lot of guys drafted high, on stars. So, yeah, that was kind of doing a disservice to guys. But, again, you know, there's a reason Philly was – the reason that Philly was favored in all the games is because it's, you know, Ben Simmons, rookie of the year. And B looked like, you know, not just looked like an all-star, he looks like a future MVP. The way they handled Miami, I get it. Why people, hey, I think I said Philly in 7-2. So, but now people are trying to say, well, what did you expect? Why are we acting like this is such a surprise? No, don't change it now. Don't change it now, and don't do this. Don't do a disservice to the Sixers. And credit Boston's defense. Don't try to make it now to be like, you know, like someone was saying, why are people surprised Brad Stevens didn't get votes for Coach of the Year? What has he really done? Are you kidding me right now? You watch the team all season, you're asking what he did. Hey, when Gordon Hayward went down, what do you think the website, 538.com, you know, they deal with stats and probabilities. What do you think?
I remember that.
How many wins did they project for Boston?
Wasn't it just a hair over 500?
No, they projected 37 wins after Gordon Hayward went down. So
that just shows take the numbers and throw them in the trash.
All the revisionist history about how, well, of course, Boston, you shouldn't have been surprised. Gordon Hayward, hey, somebody said this today, and this would spark my rant, really. Their reply was, I mean, Gordon Hayward wasn't even with the team last year, and they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, so why are you surprised that they're good this year? Like, what did Brad Stevens really do? And I'm like, dude, they literally brought back only four players from last season. Three of those players were reserves last season. That's Jalen Brown, Smart, and Terry Rozier. So don't act, you know, Al Horford's the only starter left. So why are you acting like, you know, well, Gordon Hayward was loaded with Jordan this team that's already so. No. He was supposed to be the best or second best player on the team, and he has missed all season. The team still excelled in what he did. So that just kind of irked me. It was one of
the Well, here's the thing. One of our co-hosts on here, we were talking about this before the season because there was such a compelling story coming in with Simmons getting back, Fultz stepping into the fold there, and Embiid playing his first full season. They projected to be, at best, maybe a 7, 8 seed, 6 seed. That would have been a fantastic season for them. Losing round one and you're into the playoffs, you're from a bad team to a good team. The hardest thing to do in the NBA is to step over that line from years and years of losing just to get into competition. And we saw the Celtics do that back in 2014, 2015? Yeah, 2015. They slipped right in as the seventh seed. They get whooped out by Cleveland, but that season's a big success. You know, you go from losing to winning, and that set the stage for all of that. This team ascended faster than the Celtics did. They jumped from a lottery team to the three seed in 1 year. Beat a team in the first round. I know it's the Heat. I know they didn't throw much at them, but they set the stage for something here. And here's the thing. There's two sides to it because you don't have a lot of time to compete to contend in the NBA the way things change so quickly. So something like this that could be a great up-and-coming thing could fade real fast. So you do have to kind of take advantage of your moment while you're in it. Maybe this will end up being their moment, but I don't know. They got another top 10 pick this year in all probability. These players are going to get better. The thing is, they have cap space, and what are they going to do with it? That's my question, because Paul George isn't going there. If they made it to the NBA Finals like some people thought they could have, maybe LeBron takes a peek, but I doubt that's going to happen now. So where's all that cap space going? I wonder, because they have some serious holes to fill there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good problem to have, like you just said. I still believe in Fultz. I don't care. They're predicting to think he's not going to be great. And B's going to be even better next season. He'll get himself in better shape. And then Simmons, obviously, is going to, you know, he's going to fine-tune his game. And even if he doesn't become, like, a better shooter, they're going to have more talent around him. I don't know why you're so sure Paul George won't go there because, I mean, it's a great spot for him.
I believe in the L.A. stuff. I just buy into that.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. Because because the one thing that sticks out to me was he came out and said this, like, this was the weirdest conversation he was having during the season with OKC. And he answered the question. He's like, I'm not thinking about it right now. But he's like, I'll just say this. The only way I can go to L.A., somebody else would have to be there. I'm not going to be the first domino to fall. And that's basically what he said. And, like, I didn't read into what he said. Like, he said something along those lines. I don't have the right wording. But that's what he said. He's like, I'm not going to be the first one.
Well, they got two max slots. Could you see Cousins and George ending up there?
I don't count Cousins as that. Until we see Cousins back 100%, I'm not going to count him as being one of those guys.
Yeah.
I guess it's possible. Yeah, but I feel bad for Cousins, and I'm not going to wait he comes back 100%. But so either way, I think Philly would be a great spot for him. That's more his timeline. Yeah,
that's what they need.
Was it? And honestly, for him, it's a better choice. Because look, sure, he can go to L.A. where he wants to, but Philly can say, "Hey, look, we just made the second round of the playoffs, man, and we know what we needed. We needed more two-way players. We needed more shooters. We need another scorer on the perimeter. You can come here and take all the shots you want, and then guess what? Embiid will get double teams. He'll get you open. He'll set screens and roll for you. You think about us with you instead of J.J. Redick. So, J.J. Redick off the bench." So, you know, it's definitely a possibility. And like you said, they have a possibility to get another top 10 pick this year, right? That Lakers pick. So they're going to be in a really good spot. Really good spot.
If they don't get him, I know another Oklahoma City cast off who the Thunder would be more than happy to accommodate them with.
Yeah, that's not
All right, let's get to the call lines. Time to put the Sixers back in the trash. We got a Cavaliers series to talk about, so we might as well start that off with a man who's been patiently waiting for a while now, Isaiah in New Jersey. First, I got to throw Mac Weldon at you. Mac Weldon, what is it? Who is it? It's a name company? It's a premium men's essential brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. So if you're looking for a nice suit, looking to get fresh for the playoffs, you got to cover a game, you got to go to a wedding, go check out Mac Weldon because they believe in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. So you're not walking down aisles and aisles of suits trying to get someone at the desk to help you out. It's not the mess of the store, the department store. They got the most comfortable underwear, and you start with underwear. That's most important. Socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, everything you need. Men's lifestyle. They got a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial. I bet you haven't heard of that word before. So, if you want to check out Mac Weldon, we're going to incentivize you a little bit. 20% off your first order. That's a big deal when you're buying clothes. That stuff's expensive. So 20% is going to take a big clip off. Visit MacWeldon.com and enter our promo code at checkout. That's CLNS. And that's that. Let's get to Isaiah in New Jersey. getting him on the line right here. Isaiah, we've put the 76ers to rest. We're about to move past midnight right here. Let's talk about our old friend LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Do you believe that they can beat this team?
Well, first of all, good night, fellas. How's everything with you? Great Celtics win tonight. And, of course, Bobby, you got to at least let me say congratulations to the boys for clawing their way through a five-game series. It was tough fought. It was up and down. But they did exactly what they've done all year. They put their hard hats on and they worked for everything they got. So congratulations to the fellas. As far as Cleveland is concerned, I think the question was, do I think that they have a chance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do. I think this Cleveland team is vulnerable. I think this Cleveland team is old. So the way that the Celtics have played, if they stay together and they play defense, it's going to come down to can LeBron make shots or continue to make shots in the clutch, because I think all of these games are going to be close. I don't think we're going to get run out of the building with our defense. So I think we have a chance. Do I think we're going to win? I think if we do, it'll be in seven.
Yeah, it's going to go the distance. You know there's going to be games that LeBron just rips right out of the hands in devastating fashion. And I worry about what Snotty said in the opener there. He's just such a dynamic force. There's so much gravity to what he does. You can say these certain things like don't pull off the shooters, don't crash to the middle. But when you step out there against one of the greatest players of all time, one of the two greatest, it's a completely different ball game. And there's young players defending here. I worry about Tatum getting switched on to him. I worry about Marcus Morris needing to play big minutes, as we've talked about. The LeBron dynamic really rips this thing open for Boston. So I'm not going to make a pick tonight, but I wonder, what's the game plan going to be against LeBron? You need a rim protector, so you're probably going to be playing Baines big minutes. You want to have a guy who can at least stand in front of him out there. So that's Brown, that's Morris. Those guys are going to be seeing big minutes. But I'll ask you, Isaiah, what's the game plan, you think?
I think we've already been working on a game plan. I think that this playoff series is going to be everything that we've been building towards. We've been building a wall and staying connected. I think as long as we stay connected on defense, we have a chance. Can't get isolated onto LeBron. We can't let them gut us in transition, which is something that LeBron has done repeatedly to the Celtics over the years, or this iteration of the Celtics over the years. So I think we just got to stay connected and make sure that they stay connected. I guess I can't say anything else except for that. They've built a wall against Antetokounmpo. They built a wall against Simmons. So they got to do the same thing against LeBron.
I mean, it sounds so good in theory, and they're going to try their best. It's just that we know he's just a different animal, man. And I'm not saying you're wrong. You're absolutely right. I mean, what else are you going to do? There's no superpower to it. You got to just try to make things tough for him. You got to let him. You can't let him see. Let him see too much daylight when he attacks. If he if he's posting up and you let him single up, either you just let him go one on one, and he's gonna score every time, or score a lot. Or if he's in that double, he's gonna pick you apart. So yeah, it's there's not much choice. You got to just try to be solid. Don't make mistakes. I think we will see a lot of shimmy on him, right? Shimmy Ojeleye. Shimmy stronger than Anunoby. So he's going to get a shot at him. We might even see some Yabu sometime in the series. Yeah, he has such quick feet. And, maybe that's one of Brad Stevens' secret weapons. It's not going to really work. But I know they're going to try everything.
I like the fact that they can throw him out there at him. I do like that. And, he's not going to give you a ton on offense, but there's something to what they've been building in Shemmy there. It's nice to have a guy like that you can throw out there and just say, go get him on defense, because that's what you need in this series. And I don't feel good about throwing Brown into that mess a ton. I mean, obviously, he's going to get switched there quite a bit. But I like the fact that they're going to have one guy who can – they can just say, go out there, get into them, do what you can, because this series is ultimately going to end up being about, like, the Embiid issue. LeBron's going to get his, but you can't
don't do this. This is what people do. You're, like, he just said earlier, oh, they did it against Giannis, and you're saying, oh, they're going to do like they did against Embiid. LeBron is just such a different animal than everyone else you're talking about.
It's just going to be on the 40, 50 It's going to be on the 40, 50 point level rather than the 20, 30.
Exactly. It makes sense. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead, Isaiah.
There's really no defending him. I mean, he's elevated his game to a point that there's no defending him. But what we do have in our favor is that we can Velcro all the rest of those old guys.
Yeah.
Those guys are all old, and you got to depend on everyone else to lock down the rest of those guys. Like Bobby said, LeBron is going to get his. We just got to make sure we make it tough, and he is human. He does make mistakes. I mean, Indiana had their chances to take him out. We're a better team than Indiana, and I think Brad's a better coach. The Toronto, they didn't even make it to the series. But I think they're going to run into something that's different in Boston because they're going to have a coach who can take advantage of some of the Cleveland shortcomings. And we got some young try-hard guys that are really getting the job done. So although LeBron is unguardable, everyone else on that team is guardable. Kind of like what you said, Snotty. Love is a great player, but I think Al's defense is at another level right now. He's just playing. He's defensively, Al is playing out of his mind. But at the same time, Tristan gives Al a hard time on the offensive and the defensive glass. So it's going to be a real interesting series, but I think it's going to be close all the way through. I think even if we lost in five, I wouldn't be surprised if we lost in five, but I think all the games will be close. And if we win it, and if we do have a chance to win, if we do steal a couple of those games with a couple of those try-hard plays, Terry goes off in Boston, things can happen. I think we would win it in seven. I would be completely shocked if we won it in five. So I think it's going to be a great. Series coming up.
That's good confidence, man. I appreciate that confidence. And you know what? Like you said, you got to think. You know, just what if? Everything has to break right. But you know, I guess it's not crazy. My main thing is like. Unlike the Raptors, Celtics aren't going to lose Kyle Korver off the ball. It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
You know, he's not going to get wide open threes because they just kind of forgot he's there. Like Toronto was just man. You know, same thing with Kevin Love. Kevin Love, he's not going to be just sliding into space just wide open because you know Serge Ibaka had to bring a fart. So I mean, that's a good thing. It's just again, it's just it all starts. LeBron is. This is another thing though. You're right. Boston's better than Indiana. And Indiana gave them all they could handle. I think there's a different level of confidence now because, you know, George Hill's back. He didn't really play against Indiana. And then Love has a different level of confidence now than he did in that first round. And I'll say this, because Thad Young made life hell for Kevin Love. I think Al Horford could do the same thing. So maybe we can go back to negating him the way that they did in Indiana. So we'll see.
What's the key matchup? I'll ask you both, starting with Snotty in the series, one-on-one at a single position.
The key matchup, obviously LeBron. LeBron and Jaylen Brown. That's the key matchup because Jaylen has to at least make life uncomfortable for him on the perimeter. Can't let him just dribble into whatever he wants to. I think if Jaylen – because he'll foul Jaylen out if they live him singled up in the post too much. So they might have to send a double at him. I don't know who's a non-shooter they're going to double off of, but they might have to. And he has to attack him on the other end. You know, he has to really make
– Oh, so go ahead, Snotty. I think you got to make those shooters earn their pay. Make them earn their pay and double off of them. I mean, you have to. LeBron will have you in the you know what? I'm not even going to say that. It depends on how aggressive LeBron comes out. Because he can set the pace of the game at any time from any position on the court. So it depends on how he comes out and if they want to establish other players before he gets into his rhythm or if he wants to just come out and dominate from the beginning of the game. If he wants to let those other guys establish their position and let them get going so that he can take over in the second half of the game, then that's when Boston can take the advantage because I think we can really crank it up on those guys and that's how we can get out. But if LeBron comes out and sets the pace, then he dictates how we play our defense. He dictates how many transition buckets we get by how many how many points he scores. I think he just dictates the games, and we can't really do anything. And we kind of got to wait to see what he does. I guess
it's scary the fact that he's walking through certain playoff games that his level of effort is wavering through his trip to the East Finals, and even last year. it felt like he walked through the Eastern Conference Finals on the way to the NBA Finals. And that wavering effort costs them when it comes to Golden State, I think, when they get into that matchup.
No. Come on, Bobby. Don't do that. Ron plays hard as he could. They got beat by a better team. Don't say his lack of
effort. No. I think the way he wavers through the East sets them up to not be so sharp against Golden State. You know, they weren't going it outright, but...
No, Golden State's another animal.
Exactly. Just like LeBron's demand with that, all the guys he faced, Golden State's just another animal.
Another animal.
Yeah, there's nothing you could... I will never discredit him for any of his losses against Golden State. I'll critique LeBron for the loss against Dallas. Even that loss against San Antonio, where he just kind of seemed to be not passive, but he was just kind of getting his and wasn't taking over. But I'm not going to critique him for losing against Golden State. He just did nothing he could have done.
Fair enough. Last year he did come out storming against the Celtics with that game that was at like 40-50 at one point, game one in the Garden last year. So I'm not expecting that at all. I'm not expecting that at all in this series. And of course, Isaiah was hurt in that series to start it off as well. And we'll see. It's going to be very interesting. I think we'll have a series. That's all I'm confident in right now. I think the Celtics are going to be able to stick with them. Those final minutes scare me, though, like the Toronto game three.
That game where Boston got beat by like 50 last year or down 50 at one point or whatever, that is why I feel so bad for the Raptors fans. Because I remember that helpless feeling, that feeling like, almost like, what was all this for? Why did we even do this? So that's why I feel really bad for Raptors fans right now.
It was just a sinking feeling. It's like you're in quicksand and you can't get up. he just attacks you so fast. I mean, that's why I sound like this on this phone call. I sound flustered because I'm thinking, and there's really no way that you can stop this guy. I mean, he's just another kind of animal, and yet I still think we got to punch his chance.
It's the dichotomy is crazy because we just saw what they did to Toronto. We've seen what LeBron's been doing in the East for years now. But this team almost lost to Indiana. They got 30-point bomb dropped on them in Game 6. LeBron went out and did his thing in Game 7, but they came real close to dropping in Round 1.
I want you to understand that the team we're facing is not the same team that played Indiana. Because, I swear, college is such a thing, man. Like, Terry Rozier, I don't know if you remember Terry Rozier said this. They're like, what's the secret to your success this year? And he was like, confidence. My confidence guy, coach, give me so much confidence, and I'm playing with confidence. They, like, Kevin Love just knew he couldn't do anything against Thad Young. And, like, George Hill was hurt. I think he missed most of that series, right?
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah, this team that we're seeing now, this Cleveland team, is not the same team that we saw in the first round. They're clicking. You know how it goes. Teams get into a rhythm. They didn't have any rhythm against Indiana. Now, you're right. If Boston can try to keep them out of rhythm and get them out of rhythm again and make sure they eliminate. Don't let J.R. Smith get, 15 points a game. If Boston can do that, you're right. That increases the chances. You can't just say, they struggled against Indiana, so Boston's better. Matchups, man. It's all about matchups and the way they're playing.
Well, put it this way, Snotty. I think we can bring them back to that team. I think that if Boston plays the kind of defense and is the kind of burr under their saddle, because like you said, they got into a rhythm in Toronto. And what Boston does is they're agitators. They don't let you get into a rhythm. They're going to muck the game up as much as possible. And then you got the ultimate defensive X factor, Marcus Smart, who just gains this extra possessions game after game. So there's a couple of wild cards that the Celtics have in there with their built-in, built-to-carry, built-to-travel defense that they come with. So I think although they got into a rhythm with Toronto, I look at guys like Korver and they're old. J.R. Smith, they're old. I think if these young guys get up into them and let them know that you're not going to walk through us like Toronto did, this isn't Toronto, this is the North. So I think we can bring them back to that team. But then again, it all comes back to LeBron and how he carries it. And if ever, despite everything we're saying about him, I still think this is the most vulnerable that he's been in his career to be picked off by a team. So I think if we play our game, the superstar doesn't always have to be the superstar. He doesn't always have to win. He's going to lose one of these years. And this is the team that is built for us to beat. So if we're ever going to – well, I'm not going to say ever, but if we – but we do have a puncher's chance to win this game. Despite everything we said about him, I think this is the most vulnerable that he's been. Whether we're good enough to take advantage of it or not is another question.
You know why you're right? I'll say this. People seem to – like, no one forgets this, but, like, Kyrie Irving was a big deal last year for Cleveland. And he's just gone. And then Isaiah was supposed to replace him, and Isaiah's gone. And George Hill, who's a fine player, George Hill is not on that kind of level. Like, we see that the best teams have to have at least three guys play at an all-star level to go deep in the playoffs and go, you know, be contenders. And that's what Cleveland had. LeBron, he had Kevin Love and Kyrie, three all-stars. You know, LeBron the superstar. Well, this year, it's Kevin Love. And then who? J.R. Smith, George Hill, Kyle Korver. These are nice role players. But, I mean, it's a different animal, you know, taking on George Hill than taking on a Kyrie Irving. So, I mean, hey, I'll say this. I've been wrong. I was wrong about Milwaukee. I was wrong about Philly. I wouldn't be surprised if I was wrong here either. Well, I would be surprised. I'm prepared.
I'd be surprised, too.
I'll be stunned, yeah. To see this team in the finals would just be like a mind blower. And the fact that it's even a possibility is unimaginable. I see one more call on the line. We're getting late into the night. Isaiah, nice talking to you as always. Anything you want to add before we let you go?
Just bask in the glory, Celtic fans, and remember, all of this is gravy. As much as we're going to get into this Cleveland series and back this team, we all got to remember all of this is gravy, man. We've had a great season. This is another accomplishment. Go see it.
It's special. To get this year after year, with the turnover they had after last year, too, and everything that's happened this season, it's all been documented. It's special. To be fans of this team, it's a special thing. Some teams don't see the conference finals for a decade at a time, and this team with two completely different blueprints goes back-to-back years in it. You want more, obviously. You're going to want more next year whenever that comes. You know, I don't even want to talk about next year yet because this year just keeps getting extended. But it's going to be fun. LeBron, Celtics, we've been going at it for well over a decade now on both ends. It's just another one. It's another chapter. And we'll see what they're capable of doing. Now, talking matchups, if we're going to do that for another minute here before we get to 6:03. That Rozier Hill one intrigues me. Now, you say Hill's lost a few steps. We did see the difference he made getting back into that lineup going up against Toronto, and obviously he's standing up there on Kyle Lowry. And that matchup definitely played a role in the Toronto series. I'm going to get back into the film because I didn't watch a ton of that series, but Hill and Rozier is going to be an important one because Hill's a savvy veteran. He's been on teams that have gone deep into the postseason before. I think he was one of the more important pieces they got at the trade deadline because of that. He can't be Kyrie Irving. He can't even be close, and that's something that's going to be a big difference in this one compared to last year. But we see Rozier, how essential he's been to this product so far, and his home-road splits are pretty notable. He hasn't been as great going away from the Garden as he has been at home, where he's been well over 20 points every time. That matchup's going to be pretty pivotal because the Celtics have been banking on him to score for them, him to play make, limit the turnovers, as we talked about early on. And Hill's a tough defender. He's gritty. He's able to get up into guys. And especially when this series turns to Cleveland, this team has to show some poise if they're going to win this series. They're going to have to steal a game, maybe two, at the Cavs. And the way they played against Milwaukee, even the way they played in Game 4 in this series, doesn't give me a ton of confidence in that.
What do you think George Hill's wingspan is?
6.
Well, he's 6'2". He's 6'3". You think he has 6'8" wingspan? He has a 7-foot wingspan, according to
him. He's one of those. He's one of those Rondos.
He is really a tough defender, man, and he has lost a step. You know, he's 31 now. He's lost a step a little bit, but he's still a smart player. He can still hit the open three. Yep, hits the open three. Like, you know, he works well off ball, perfect with a guy like LeBron. So, yeah.
And there are guys on that. You know, everyone's making fun of the supporting cast there, and I know it was because of round one, like you talked about. But you go down the line up there, there are guys who put a little bit of fear in your heart from watching them over the last few years with them. Kyle Korver, the thought of him stepping back for those open threes on the drives just always scares me. Kevin Love in the same situations. When he gets involved, active inside, rebounding, he is a force. And then,
yep. You
know, Tristan Thompson, depending on what Tristan Thompson they get, you never know nowadays. He can change a series. He can propel them to championship status, as we've seen in the past. There are guys there. There is a supporting cast there, and you never know what you're going to get. Jeff Green, looking at you. You could either get nothing from that guy or everything. So those little things scare me. And I think going into the series, you know, it's not a bold statement, but the Celtics are going to be underdogs in this one. And that's how I feel now that I've come down there a little bit from tonight. There are concerning matchups in this one. And you wish, I don't want to play the what-if card because we could play that all season, but you wish you had Irving running back in action for the series because he's the real game breaker. He's the guy
who you expect
to break open a game.
You know, it's fun to be watching, you know, the him and LeBron storyline, and it'd be a blast, man. You can wish, but yeah.
Remember opening night, all the storylines, and how quickly it just crashed into the ground? What a year.
So, hey, man, all you can do, though, like my man Isaiah said, bask in this series win. This was a big step for the Celtics, man. Like, I don't know if there's ever a time where I've seen a team, you know, 5-1 and they lost 4-1 and they were the underdogs in every game. You know, maybe the Pistons and the Lakers, you know, in 2004, but I can't think of a playoff series where I've ever seen it before. So I'll be the first to say it. Like last season, I was, I think, all right, it's a good team. And I enjoyed it, but, you know, I wanted more. Well, this season, Boston Celtics has given us more. You know, I was never really enthused with Isaiah. I liked Isaiah. I respected everything he did, but I remember when he got hurt last year and he missed the game, and that's the game that Celtics beat Cleveland. That was kind of when I had my first thought, like, they can't sign him long-term. They can't sign him to big money long-term. They just can't do it. And no disrespect to him. It's just like I knew he put a ceiling on how good this team was going to be. And now, somehow, even with all the injuries, this team seems like there's no ceiling on this team. They just keep doing things they're not supposed to do. So, I saw the process happening in Philly, and I was jealous in Boston because, you know, like you said, they were barely making the playoffs and getting destroyed in the first round. Just blow it up. And I'm so glad that Danny Ainge is a smarter GM than I am.
There's so much to say. There's so much to say about this year, and it just keeps rolling on and on and on. I've never seen a season quite like this with it going both ways, down with the injuries, up with what they've been able to produce in spite of that. It's incredible. So we're going to take one more call tonight, maybe talk about a few more things to close it out. 603 has been waiting, maybe listening. 603, got any words for us?
My name's Lucas. I mean, I listen all the time, right? I listen to Swati on the Dunk Tales pod, and just called in to ask about, like, the matchups you guys were just talking about. Like, who does Cleveland draw for a starting five?
It's going to be George Hill, J.R. Smith, probably Jeff.
They're
going to
go
Green.
Big. I think
probably
going up against the Baines lineup, I think they'll throw Thompson out there. I think they're going to go back to those big lineups on both ends and chase each other small and big both ways. It's going to be a lot of matchup setting both ways. But
Probably Korver and J.R. Smith. Yeah.
So they got LeBron at the four, you think?
No, he's a three, right? So, yeah, it's going to be I guess nominally it would be at the four. Yeah, you're right. So who's – well, damn, you're right. Good point. So Korver probably goes back to the bench. It could be George Hill, J.R. Smith, LeBron, Kevin Love, and Tristan.
Right, and then who do you think the Celtics would match up with? I was just, like, thinking about it because, like you said, if LeBron posts –
Well,
LeBron, legal coverage?
That's interesting, because if they're going that way, throw Horford at LeBron, and I wouldn't
That's
mind that at all.
I would very much mind that, because you don't want to get Horford. See, again, you're thinking he did this and that against Giannis. That's great. There's a reason that Matthew Dellavedova, hey, man, he plays so great with LeBron. Let's give him $10 million best starting point guard, and he'll be like, we'll help Giannis. Giannis is not LeBron. So all he would do is back Horford. He'd take Horford. He'd back up to like the half court line, and he'd just come downhill and blow right past Al. Al's a great defender. He's not LeBron great, you know.
Right.
So I mean, we'll see it at times, obviously. And if he switched, but yeah, if he gets switching to Horford, he's going to back up and just try to blow right by him. And we've seen he's been doing it. Like, look, OG Anunoby's a rookie, but he has really quick feet, right? We agree. He was a really good defender this year.
Right.
LeBron just stretched at him like it was nothing. So, you know, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like – and the difference between LeBron and Giannis and Simmons is like you think about putting up the wall, right, theoretically. But the difference between Bron and them is Bron can pull up from three, like, at any time. And that's something the Celtics haven't had to face with, like, the superstars they've been playing. But –
No, that's a great point. There's so much floor spreading for Cleveland, too. And that's Philly had none of that. Milwaukee had even less of that. That's a totally new dynamic they're going to have to grapple with going into the series. So that's a great point. Luckily, it's a team defense. You know, everybody can switch, like we've talked about. Everyone's pretty capable across the board. There's no matchups here besides LeBron that really scare you on switches. Love's the real wild card, though, because – there are two different levels of love. Sometimes he can just look like he's completely out of the fold. Sometimes he can be, you know, 1A or at least B with LeBron. And that's when you're really in trouble, when he's knocking down 5 threes, 6 threes in a game and taking it to you on the board. So he's the wild card, because he could be top three in this series right up there with LeBron at the number two slot. And when you don't have one or two of the best two players in the series, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Kevin Love will absolutely abuse mismatches, because even though it's awkward as he might look sometimes in the post, he's big and strong, and he'll punish guys like even like Tatum can't guard in the post, you know.
I worry about Tatum on some of these switches, yeah, in this series.
Right. So, I mean, if they roll Bron out at the three, you think the Celtics are going to start Semi again? Because like Snotty said earlier, if Bron is posting Tatum and Brown and they don't double team like they did with Embiid, they're gonna have four or five fouls in the first half. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know. Like you said, Bron's just a different animal. But we should just bask in the glory of the win tonight.
Got you, man. Just enjoy it. Like you said, none of this is supposed to be happening right now, right? Once Kyrie went down, it was over. When Gordon went down, it was over. Boston just keeps on rolling. So. Yeah, enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it right now. We'll talk about, you know, we'll break down the games as they happen. And if they lose, guess what? They lost to, like, arguably the best player of all time. So what are you going to really complain about, you know? I just want them to put up a good showing, steal a win or two if they can, nobody get injured, and, you know, keep the games close.
No, that third one's a big one. Everybody stay healthy. We can't get out of the series without someone going down, it looks like.
Right.
As Larkin's probably not going to see the floor again this postseason. Like that, I know it's Larkin, but, like, come on. Like, we have to lose him too.
No, I started the year adamant about not wanting to see Shane Larkin on the floor and, like, did a 180 this year. Like, he completely proved me wrong, and I'm pretty sure he proved a lot of people wrong. Like, him going down was the actual problem. Like, if you had told me that in October, I would have just shook my head. Like, that's crazy. But, all right, thanks for taking my call, guys. I got to run, but thanks a lot.
You too,
hey,
bro.
Great call. Thanks a lot, man. So, let's close this out, Snotty. Great calls tonight. Great show, even though we started at 11, but the game went late. Do you have a topic you want to close this out on?
No, man. Just, this is I've been following Celtics for a long time, and, you know, we had not even really dark years. But, you know, once the Rondo trade happened and they snuck it to the playoffs, it was cool. But, you know, Boston wasn't really relevant. It was a fun story, wasn't really relevant. It's amazing to see this stage of the franchise, because even with the injuries and everything, Boston's in the Eastern Conference Finals. People are talking when people spend the whole year hating on, you know, Boston. And I hate using the word hater. But, no, Al Horford had haters. And,
yep.
You know, very vocal, loud, prominent haters.
Which is so weird.
Not only does he seem like a really nice guy, he plays well, so it's weird. But the fact that he's kicking everybody in their junk right now with the way he's playing on national TV, on national stage, and he's, you know, he was the engine for this. Like, that's a good feeling. The fact that, you know, last summer all we heard was, oh, Angel's an idiot, not trading for Jimmy Butler or trading for Paul George. Angel's an idiot. They traded away all their depth. They traded away their defense. They traded away and now this Boston's here. It's just such, like, a cathartic feeling. It's you know, some people are like, oh, I hate to say it. I told you so. I don't hate to say it. I don't hate to say it at all. And I think, I don't know if you remember this, right after the Hayward injury, I don't know if you remember, I was one of the few people, they might make it as an eighth seed, they might miss the playoffs. And I said, no, I think Boston's going to be fine. I said, there's just versatility and length, and everything played out just the way we wanted it to play out, man. So, like, yeah, man, I love this. This is, look, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, so much, you know, Hall of Famers all. This might have been my favorite Boston team this year.
It's hard to beat it. And I didn't like the Irving trade. I didn't like seeing that past team go. It was so fun. There seemed to be some upside to it, but everything came in the crystal clear view. There's really no case for going back on that trade now. Like, it just became so definitive, so good. Even with Irving's injury concerns going forward now, that was just such a slam dunk. It devastated Cleveland for the moment. If Cleveland wasn't able to get out of those players that were dumped on them with Isaiah, the way he was playing, with Crowder going down the toilet, if they weren't able to spin that miracle at the trade deadline, they're not playing right now. Like, I'm fully convinced about that. They just, you want to talk about this supporting cast they have now. The one they started to deal with was just turning into a disaster. And they slipped out from under that.
I don't know if you remember this. Their GM says, we had to make these moves because we were on a slow march to death. Like,
yeah.
There was, and I don't know if you remember this, right? Right before they made those trades, LeBron, it was right before the All-Star break, right? And LeBron had a crazy game where he just went bonkers and he was hitting everything. And he was, like, yelling and excited because he probably knew, looking back, he knew those trades were happening. Like, something was happening. You know,
he demanded them.
Oh, yeah. He played, like, not in, like, a happy way. He was like a wild man that game. He was just awesome. And I think right after that, the trades happened. So, yeah, man. Yeah, it's incredible at the time of those trades, right? Oh, the Celtics got fleeced. Yeah, they gave up too much. And here we are. You know, none of those guys are still in Cleveland. The pick's going to be conveyed to be, like, eighth or ninth. You know, so, like, that's crazy, man.
No, what's crazier is that I think Cleveland didn't have to use Love or the pick to get out from all of under that. So credit to them for spinning the deals that they did to get here. I think they deserve a little bit of credit on that front. It may even save them LeBron at the end of the day, depending on how this season plays out. So I'll close with this. How about this first stat? Aaron Baines made more threes in this series than Robert Covington and Marco Bellinelli.
That's crazy.
That's how this series went. So Celtics win 4-1. Who would have drawn that up coming into it? 5-game series, almost a sweep if the Celtics were able to come out of it in game 4, but they do one better and just close it out in 5. We're on to the East Finals. I think that series gets started on Sunday. I'm almost certain Sunday's going to, yeah. Sunday at 3:30 on ABC, Cavaliers-Celtics in Boston. First one, the 4 makes the NBA Finals. As you know, LeBron versus the Celtics one more time. Let's do it. It's going to be fun. I'm sure we'll speak again on here, Snotty. You've been great through the playoffs hosting here, so let's close it on that. Thanks to all the callers who've been with us through 2 rounds. We got at least 4 more shows, guys. Hopefully more. Snotty, good night.
All right, brother. We're out.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.